So, hey, I have some really good news.
Nice. What is it?
I met a famous podcast producer.
Really? There's famous podcast producers?
No. This guy's big. Really big. Uh-huh. And he likes the show.
Awesome.
He thinks you're great.
Oh.
He really chatted you up a lot.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he made a lot of promises. He said he can get us to number one on the Apple podcast chart.
No way.
In a week.
No way.
But there's a catch.
Of course there is.
He needs you to suck his dick.
I'm in.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you think, man?
I love it. Welcome back, man. We're doing it again.
We're doing
two
it.
Two in a row.
Hold on, here it comes. Do, 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 do.
Solo.
51B1608. This is the two dumb for this show.
Yeah, dude. Give us a call. Join in. Tonight's a very special episode. We teased it last week, but this is the deal. It's going down tonight. Did you do your homework?
I did my homework.
Nice.
I watched Abducted in Plain Sight.
It's a doozy.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God. So I got to be honest, I rewatched it to take some notes because it had been so long since I'd seen it.
So you don't have it on repeat while you sleep?
No. Maybe after tonight. But I rewatched it and took some notes. And boy, howdy, the second go around's just as good as the first go around.
See,
there are some gems in there.
I don't ever need to rewatch this because some of that shit will stick with you forever.
Oh yeah, the main things stick with you. You know, there's some real key spots to just stick with you, and they're going to be with you forever and ever and ever. However, there are a few little nuggets in there that, when you go back and rewatch, there's some good shit in there, man.
Some Easter eggs.
Some B-sides, if you will. There's some B-sides to go along with the hits.
Okay.
It is un-fucking believable.
So in episode 26, we hinted at Abducted in Plain Sight, which is a Netflix documentary.
Yes.
And you know, we didn't want to give away any spoilers because, well, I hadn't technically seen the entire movie. Trenton had, and I, you know, finished the show, but the very next night I watched the episode, the whole show.
Yes, to which I got a text message. Holy shit, I watched it. yeah, man. And we gave all of our listeners homework. Anybody who listens to this podcast, we gave you homework. We hope that you did it. That way you can be a part of it, or at least we do not spoil anything for you. So let me just say this. Spoiler alert. It's coming. We're talking about everything that happens in this show. If you have not seen it yet, don't listen to the show until after you've seen it.
Yeah, it's important for you to watch the entire documentary because it's challenging, to say the least.
It's tough, man.
It's a tough watch. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, yes. You know, time just flies by.
It is an interesting study in the human, what would you call it? The experience, the human
predator.
Psyche. The human predator. But not just the predator, the dummies, the dum-dums that are involved in this thing. It's shocking, dude.
So we made a promise to dedicate, I mean, we don't know. I mean, we'll see how long this will go, but we made a promise to dedicate as much as we could, like an entire episode to Abducted in Plain Sight. And the Abducted in Plain Sight Twitter or Instagram account reshared one of our stories this week as well.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're aware we're doing an episode.
Oh, God, that means they're going to be listening. The family's going to hear what we're probably going to get in trouble.
Well, just remember, always begin every sentence with allegedly.
Allegedly.
And then end every sentence with a question mark.
Right.
And you're good.
It is. Okay.
Done.
So how do we do this? Are we recapping the story and going bit by bit until we just hash it all out? Because I feel like I've got to get this off of my chest, man. I've been holding it in.
I think just roll into it. Just set it up because we didn't plan anything.
Yeah, no, totally. Us plan? That's ridiculous. Best I've got is some shitty notes that I put in here just so I didn't forget some things.
Well, I think for the listeners who are not aware and they say they just want to listen anyway, if they have not seen Abducted in Plain Sight, what's the elevator pitch? Say you're a documentary producer and you're jumping into an elevator with a Hollywood film producer. What would you say this documentary is about?
Mr. Spielberg. I have access to the dumbest fucking family that ever lived in the entire fucking world. These people are the biggest suckers known in the history of the world. It is shocking how dumb they are. I mean, honestly, do you think they were just so naive and it was a different time? People didn't know. Even the FBI agent said that he didn't know what a pedophile was. They were called the stranger danger.
Stranger danger. They didn't have a word for it.
Yeah. I mean, it was the 70s. It was a good, wholesome family. They were church going folk. I believe they were in the LDS community or whatever.
What does that mean?
The Mormons.
Okay.
Right. The fathers of florist. The mom's like a homemaker. They have the daughters. They have the, you know, they just seem like good, naive people. Right. So
how many daughters do they have?
I believe there was three.
I think three
there?
Daughters,
three daughters. There was Jan, who was the oldest one. And I can't remember the other two names because it's not important.
Not important for our conversation.
Right. Right. So, new people move into town, become their neighbors, and become their best friends. And also a kidnapper and a child molester, the neighbor becomes.
They didn't Robert. Know this.
Right. They didn't know this at first.
And they didn't know it for a long time.
But were they being intentionally naive?
Well, that's
does that make sense? Like they were blocking it out. They didn't want to know what was going on. Do you kind of see it a little bit that way, maybe? Or were they just simply the dumbest people on the planet and most trusting assholes to ever walk the face of the earth?
I don't think we're there yet. I think we kind of have to.
Okay. We're still in this setup.
I think we're still in the setup because they end up hanging out with their new friends.
Right.
This guy. What's his name?
His name's Robert Birchtold. He's the neighbor, and his wife, I can't remember what her name is, but his wife, who's real quiet.
Gail.
Yep, that is correct.
Right her away. Bob and Gail.
Robert and Gail.
My flags are going up.
Your flags are rocking.
My
grandma's named Gail, so I can't, you know.
I mean, look, new people move to town. I'm suspicious as fuck right away. They come over, they introduce themselves, I get squinty-eyed. I'm like, what do you want from me?
Right? And they had like, they had five children of their own, right? And
yes, they had children. They
were like, three of them were the same ages as Bob and Mary Ann or Mary Ann. So it's Bob and Mary Ann are Jan's parents. And what's their last name? Can you remember that?
I can't remember.
We'll just call them Bob and Mary Ann. And then the Birchtolds. The Birchtolds
Broberg.
Are the other
one. Broberg.
Broberg, right. Okay, so you got Bob and Robert and Gail Birchtold. And their kids become best friends with these kids, right? And the parents become best friends with the parents. And it's like picture perfect.
They all start hanging out. Best friends. They all start
hanging out and doing stuff.
Having dinners.
Yeah, going on vacations together. Doing all sorts of stuff. The problem comes in when Robert decides he needs to start taking Jan, the oldest daughter of Bob and Mary Ann.
How old was she at this time?
12.
Okay.
She was 12 years old.
Red flags.
Big red fucking flags, dude. Giant red flags going off all over the place.
And this is really plot twist number one, right? That you're rolling into. Okay.
Yes. Plot twist number one. Robert approaches Mary Ann, who's Jan's mother, and says, "Hey, let me pick Jan up after her piano recital, and we'll just go out and do something, and I'll bring her right back to you." And Jan's like, "Oh, please, Mom, it'll be fun. I'm going to have so much fun." They called him B.
They loved this guy.
They loved B. She looked at him like a father figure, right? So B's like, "Hey, let me pick up Jan and we'll go out and do some stuff. Just the two of us," which is, he's in his 40s and she's 12.
Red flag number 1037.
Right. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. So Robert, or as they call him, B, convinces the mother, "Yeah, I'll just pick her up after piano recital and I'll bring her back to you." And the mom's like, "It's a school night. Let's just plan for another night." And he's like, "No, I'll just take her. I'll have her back before Bob gets home from the shop. And, you know, you'll have her back. No harm, no foul." 4 days later, when they are not back, there's a giant issue. The motherfucker, he gives her sleeping pills, tells her that they're, you know, what her allergy medicine or something.
Her vitamins or something.
Yeah. She passes out and he just goes and never comes back. And you're asking yourself, how does that happen? How does the mom not go, "Okay, it's 9:30 at night. I'm calling the police." No. She never calls. She doesn't call the cops. She doesn't let anybody know. She talks to the wife of this creep. What's her name? Gail.
Gail.
She talks to Gail and Gail's like, "I'm sure they're fine. Everything's fine. Don't get the authorities involved." So the bitch with the bangs named Gail, I think she's involved in some of this action. She's into some shit here. But so they never, what is it, 4 days later, they finally get a hold of the police and the FBI because they can't find them anywhere.
I thought it was a bit longer, but I mean, you just watched it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. That's one of the details I can't remember. It was a long freaking time because all I kept thinking was, dude, if you're an hour late with my kid, first of all, I'm not letting my daughter go off with some 40-year-old creep that's just wanting to go with my daughter.
Named B. That's a problem.
Yeah. Second of all, if you're 2 hours late and you haven't gotten in contact with me, search party and I'm going to kill you. Okay.
You're getting a baseball bat with nails.
Y'all do
sticking out of it.
Somebody's getting violated.
Somebody did get violated.
Yeah, they did. but yeah, that's all I kept thinking is after an hour of not being home, how do you not contact the authorities? Even if it's just to make sure that they didn't have a flat tire, get in a wreck or whatever, right?
Trust.
But fuck trust, man. An hour, you're gone. You've taken my daughter. There's no cell phones in the 70s. I'm thinking you're in a ditch somewhere, right? Why wouldn't you get a hold of the authorities, describe the vehicle, and let them know what's going on? Instead, what happens is some serious time elapses, whether it's 4 days, 2 weeks, whatever. I can't remember the exact time. But they get a hold of the cops. They get a hold of the FBI. And they get a, and Gail finally tells him, hey, we have a RV in a storage unit.
This is right? Sounding very familiar.
It's yeah, let's leave the RV out of it. Us RVers are good people.
I'm highly suspicious.
Right. Oh God, man. So creepy.
Had a so big fucking wildcat on the side of it.
So the FBI shows up. They checked the storage unit. The RV's gone, man.
Yeah, so B had a storage unit. Yep. They finally get this information from Gail, and they open up the storage unit. It's fucking gone.
The RV's gone, and so's the girl, and so's B.
So, but before we get there, I want to just drive home the point that, oh, fiddle dee dee, an hour goes by. Couple hours right. go by and you don't hear from your kid. It's the 70s. Yeah. Like cars break down, stuff happens. And you get home from work and you ask your wife, hey, where's Jan? Where's our daughter? Our 12-year-old.
Right.
Like, ah, she went out with, B.
She went out with B.
You know, B, she just went out with, and we don't know where they're at, but.
He was being a little pushy. I said, no, I'm not going to allow her to go out on a school night. She's got school in the morning. And he's like, frothing at the mouth. No, I'm going to take her. I'll bring her back. I'll pick her up from piano. Ugh, dude, it makes me sick.
And they go to bed. They go to bed that night. And they sleep
multiple nights, dude.
And they wake up and they're like, fiddle dee dee. Jan's still gone. And this happened a few times in a row. A few days in a row where there were no updates
until finally they get a hold of the FBI, right? They just, they go from local authorities to the FBI, like right away. It's just, that's why I'm asking, were they intentionally naive or are they the dumbest people on the planet?
Well, obviously there was more going on, which we'll get to.
Oh, which we find out. Yes, we do.
So what happens next? The RV's gone. Missing. Abducted in plain sight.
Right. Completely gone. Nobody knows. So what does happen next?
There's something about Mexico.
Yes, that is correct. So he calls his brother. Who? B calls his brother.
Who, by the way, we need to talk about.
Yes.
Because with the very first interview with the brother, B's brother, he said, yeah, I knew he liked little kids.
Yeah. Yeah. The very first interview, the first time that he's introduced, he's like, yeah, my brother always had a problem with little kids, liked little girls. Jesus, man.
He said it like he was like, oh, yeah, he likes Oh yeah, he likes apple pie. I like cherry pie, but he likes apple pie.
he's a big fan of apple pie. it was shocking just that his brother knew as much as he did. He used to diddle his sister. That's what he said. He used to watch her sister. He would bother her a little bit, or however he said it, you know.
So and he said, so yeah, I figured, okay, we might as well get him back up here.
Yep. So he figured I might as well get what happens is B calls his brother up and says, you got to convince them to let me back into the United States
and not press charges.
And he's like, well, how the hell am I going to do that? And he's like, well, tell them that we're getting married.
In Mexico at that time, they
got married
and they did get married.
Yes. But in order for it to be legal in the United States, they had to have the parents' permission because the age of consent was whatever. You know, more reasonable than in Mexico.
You say that like it's a problem.
Oh, Jesus, man. So weird. So he finally convinces B to come back. So, no, he doesn't convince him to come back. That's right. He does not convince him to come back. The FBI reaches out to the federales down there in Mexico at the resort. Or not the resort, at the camp, the camper that they're, the campground that they're staying at, the RV park. Mm-hmm. And they kick in the fucking door and haul him to jail. And the parents fly down there and grab Jan. Right? Is that right so far?
Yeah, I think so. Either I think they flew her back, or maybe the parents flew down and got her. They flew down and got her.
And she was upset. She's like, we got to get him out of here. We've got to get him out of here.
Who was upset?
They're
going
to do bad things to him. Jan was upset. Jan was upset. They were hurt. Me. Yes.
Oh, yeah. But afterwards, it was... So the dust settles a bit, right? And Jan is kind of normal.
Yeah. A little normal. The parents still have contact. Right? So are we jumping ahead here?
I think we're jumping ahead.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. Just really working.
Was it in Mexico where he started to play the audio tapes?
So that's what's confusing about the documentary is I think they jump some time a little bit. Okay. Not the first time. It's the second time, right?
Wait, so there is a second time?
Yes, she gets abducted twice.
Okay. So.
No. I think you're right. I think it is the first time that she gets abducted that he plays the tapes, but they tell it in a weird way.
They tell it in a weird way. So she tells the story of being passed out because she doesn't really remember. You know, she was given sleeping pills and she remembers waking up. And she doesn't know where the fuck she is. So she looks over and there's a little box and it's a speaker.
It's a tape recorder.
It's a tape recorder.
Yeah.
And coming out of the box is a weird, alien voice.
Yeah.
And it keeps repeating and they had names. My name is Elon. And we're here to save the world. And they keep saying, Jan.
It was Zeta and Zethra.
Zeta and Zethra, yes.
They were the aliens.
So they were the aliens, and they have they had a very special mission for Jan.
They did. So and here's the messed up part about it. So the aliens said that her mom was really her mom, but her dad was not her dad. And her dad was this god from another planet, right?
And she was half alien.
And she was half alien. And so because of her religious background or whatever, like she's like, this is the story of Jesus or whatever, you know? So her little 12-year-old drugged mind is freaking out, not knowing what's going on. She just knows that she passed out and she's hearing these aliens talk to her. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But yes, they give her a special mission. And what is that mission?
To repopulate the earth with B.
Yes, to have a baby to save the planet where these aliens are from and where she's from, or whatever.
And all of this has to happen before she turns 16. Otherwise, the world ends, right? And if she did not accept the mission... Her little sister would go blind or die?
Die. Evaporate.
Yeah. Evaporate into dust.
If she didn't accept the mission, then her sister would be given the mission and then die or something like that, right? Like it was, I don't know. There's so much to take in with this. I even took notes and I can't remember.
So she wakes up after being, you know, brainwashed and drugged and a minor, just a child. And she is in this RV And she makes her way to the kind of the front of the RV, and she finds B passed out.
Yes.
Clearly acting.
Right. Covered in blood. So that was the other thing. The FBI found B's car with the window broken out from the inside with trails of blood, where apparently they got in the RV and then drove to Mexico.
Because he was making it look like they were attacked and taken.
Yes.
But he broke it from the inside.
What a dumbass. Stupid B. That car was sweet, though. It's a 64 Lincoln Continental with the suicide doors. That car is pretty sweet. Sorry.
So she finds B passed out. She wakes him up. She says, "Oh my God. Hey, are you okay? What happened? We have a mission." He said, "Yeah, the last thing I remember is this bright light in the sky."
Uh-huh. And he explains this whole alien thing and that he was told that he had been chosen to repopulate the earth with some girl, and she must be the girl. Right? Fills her poor little head with some bullshit, man. And he plays just the tip.
So they he can do. Yes! That's right.
Yes. So apparently in the camper, like he does more convincing. He's chit chatting with her, chatting her up. He does some convincing. He pulls out some books from some cabinets in the RV, some sex books, and starts showing her these things. Well, this poor girl ends up, you know, thinking that if she doesn't do this, the world's coming to an end. Can you imagine the pressure of being a 12-year-old girl or 13-year-old girl, whatever she was at this time? She thinks she's saving the world by doing this stuff with this guy, so a man that she trusts and loves, right? And then she says that he would never go full penetration. He would just stick an inch in or whatever. And when I first heard that, this is one of those things that I picked up on. When I first heard that, I was like, ah, what a weird fucking dude, man. What a sicko. But when they come back and, you know, the cops take her away and whatever, they take her to the doctor and she gets inspected and her bits and pieces are still intact. And I thought, this fucking guy has done this shit before, man.
Yeah, he's been there, done that.
Yeah, dude. So then there was, I mean, there really was no proof, no physical proof that anything had happened between the two of them. Right? Other than the kidnapping.
Well, the kidnapping, and the FBI wants to pursue it.
Right.
So at this point in time, B had taken a minor down to Mexico and married her, and, you know, God knows what else.
Yes.
And the FBI knows that they have a creeper on their hands. So yes, they want to pursue him with the full extent of the law.
Yes.
He gets out on bail.
But hold on. Here's where we need to backtrack. This is where we backtrack because of how he gets out on bail and all that other stuff and how he gets... Right. So like, this is where we need to go back and talk about Marianne.
I was going to go into that because he gets out on bail.
Right.
And he
right.
starts to re-engage the family.
Yes. He re-engages the family.
And they say, yeah, come on in.
The FBI said, do not have any contact with this family. Do not have any contact with the Burchholds. They're trouble. They've kidnapped your daughter. This is a serious thing. And 3 minutes after the guy gets out of fucking jail, 3 minutes after the guy gets out of jail on bail, they're like, hey, Robert, would you like to come over for some dinner and some tea? Fucking idiots, man. But you're right. They strike up a conversation again and continue.
So instead of telling this creeper to go take a hike, they start hanging out with him again and they become best buds as if nothing ever happened. As if this guy did not just kidnap their daughter.
Oh my God. Not only that, But he starts manipulating old Marianne. He starts telling her, hey, Marianne, you got a nice body. You got some nice long legs. Starts filling her head with some shit. And Marianne's like, well, my florist of a husband isn't doing the job. I'm all about this Robert fella. Because Robert, even though he had that weird 70s hair, was kind of a charming fella, apparently. And the whole kid touching thing, that's a problem, but...
She looked past that.
Oh, she did. She saw past that.
But this whole time, the only people saying bad shit about B is the FBI.
Yes.
You know, yeah. a credible organization.
Right, right. The family's a little bit like, yeah, you kind of stole our daughter for a while. And the guy was like, no, I made a mistake. We just went on vacation. We just didn't tell you guys. Yeah, that's a big fucking mistake, man.
And Jan is completely normal at this point in time.
Yeah.
She's acting completely normal. There's nothing.
She can't say anything. Otherwise, Zeta and Zethra will annihilate the planet if she says anything and kill her sister.
Right. And that information, though, that came from B. Oh, shit. How did we forget this?
Yeah.
He was in a Mexican jail.
Yes. So he got put in a Mexican jail. This is the craziest shit ever.
And she was held, too.
Yes, she was held, too. And all of a sudden, she says they started taking her down to this real dark, dank basement in a Mexican jail, right? Well, it turns out that fucking B gives the guard, this Mexican guard, his gold ring in order to bring her down there. So this guard takes her down there so that he can speak with her. And Robert, obviously in a little bit of a tizzy because he's in a Mexican jail, is like, do not say anything about any of this stuff. Zeta and Zethra have told me that we cannot talk about four things: their relationship, their mission, and what were the anything that happened on the vacation or whatever. And I can't remember what the other one was.
I think the sex.
The sex. Okay. Oh, Jesus, man. And she's like, yeah, we probably shouldn't say anything because aliens are going to kill my family. So, sorry.
So, yeah. So, in the meantime, Jan is completely fucking normal.
Yep.
Completely normal. She, I think she explains it later, but in the back of her mind, every ticking second is a universe of fear and anxiety because she's on this mission. And she begins to see her family is just in the fucking way. Everybody and everything else is in the way of completing this mission.
Right. And I think at one point she says in the documentary that like the pressure of saving the race, this entire planet of people as a 12-year-old, it'll just crush your spirits, man. Like she could not mess up or everybody was going to die. It's just crazy to me, man.
So old B starts to hang out again.
So old B starts talking with Marianne, old mama, old Jan's mom, telling her how sexy she is and how long her legs are and how hot she is and all this shit. And old Marianne hook, line, and sinker. Fucking sucker, dude. She's like, yeah, that sounds good. I like all that stuff. They start making out. He starts fondling those boobies. They do some stuff. But it's all in an effort to get back at that 12-year-old girl, man. That's all he wants. He doesn't give a shit about her. He just wants their daughter.
Yeah, he starts to, he's continuing to build trust and, split apart the family. Now, I'm a little confused because at what point does he go to therapy? Is it this part of the documentary?
Yes, I believe so.
He tells the parents, hey, I'm in therapy. I'm addressing these issues.
Yep. He's going to therapy. The one of the leaders of their church, he got in trouble for for touching another kid, apparently. And so the leader of the church was like, no, you've got to go to therapy and get these demons out of you, or whatever the case may be. And so he starts going to therapy, to an unlicensed therapist who makes these audio tapes.
Yeah.
Right?
He gives B these audio tapes to play.
So, and as part of his therapy, he fucking convinces these dipshit. Oh man, I don't even want to. These naive, trusting dipshits. I don't know what else to say.
Jan's parents, you're referencing?
Yes. As part of his therapy, he has to lay alone with Jan.
In her bed.
In her bed.
Every night.
And the FBI says that he slept with her 4 times a week for 6 months straight. 4 times a week, dude.
Hey, you know, the guy's just getting healthy.
And this is after the first kidnapping, bro.
The guy's just getting healthy. You know, he's going to therapy. He's addressing his issues.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And sure. Jan shared a room with her sister.
She used to share a room with her sister.
But B, who is also a woodworker,
decided, let's separate the two of you. You girls are getting old enough. You need your own rooms, especially when I'm sleeping with one of you. So he builds a wall.
And the parents are like, great. Thanks for the home improvement, B.
And they say, walls don't work. Build that wall. Build that wall. Oh, it's terrible, man. Dude, so crazy, man. But these assholes agree to it. And they're like, yeah, he's going to treatment. I mean, he's our friend. He needs help. He kidnapped our daughter. Let's help him out. Let's make it as easy as possible. But now, really what it is he's diddling the mom on the side.
Well, and these audio tapes, though, now they don't disappear. Jan continues to hear them at the house.
Yes.
Because B is right next to her sleeping.
Yep.
And he's playing these audio tapes. And these audio tapes continue to have messages from the aliens.
Yes. Just brainwashing this poor little girl.
God damn, that's weird.
Oh, so weird, man. And they actually play like some audio tapes of him and her talking. So creepy, dude.
She sounds younger than 8 in those, sorry, younger than 12 in those audio tapes.
So, so, so young, man. It's disgusting.
And he was also obsessed with taking pictures of her.
Yo, tons of pictures. And what did he call it? His dolly?
His dolly.
His dolly. And he was writing her notes and like, oh, God, what a creep.
And she would write him letters and sign it, your dolly.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, she loved him. She said that her love transitioned from like a fatherly kind of love to a husband love, where she was 100% dedicated to this man, and she was 100% dedicated to completing this mission, and that they were supposed to be together. Ugh, so creepy, dude. So creepy. So back to it. Okay. B convinces the mom that he's wants to be with her and that she should leave Bob and come be with him and bring the girls and they'll be happy and all this stuff. Right. But here's twist. Here's the fucking twist, man. Can we play the audio?
Yeah, I think we have that queued up and ready to go.
Yep, let's play the audio for the twist.
Well, God damn it, we had it queued up ready to go. Imagine us getting anything fucking going on time. Jesus.
Very knowledgeable in the sexual field, but he did not have a good relationship with his wife.
Okay, so we are hearing Jan's dad speak about B.
Yep.
sexually. One day, he came in the store, and I could tell that he was extremely disturbed. He says, "Are you free? Let's go for a ride." He says, I cannot stand my wife, and I need to have sex.
Is it fine?
I could see that he was sexually aroused.
I can't hear anything.
He says, "Oh, can you give me some relief?" We were laughing, and he said, "Oh, Bob, it's just kid stuff, and I've got to have relief." So I was dumb enough to reach over and relieve him in an act of masturbation.
In an act of masturbation.
Oh my God.
So Jan's dad masturbates B.
Oh, dude, he needed some relief.
Hold on, let's find
out. Very knowledgeable in the sexual field, but he did not.
You can hear that, right? You can hear that part?
Not have a good relationship with his wife sexually.
Let's find the spot where we were.
To reach over and relieve him in an act of masturbation. I did the worst thing I've ever done. As far as breaking the trust and the fidelity.
Oh.
So B is manipulating everybody.
Oh, dude, just getting everybody to touch his wiener, man.
He's getting everybody all riled up. Because
very knowledgeable in the sexual field.
Oh, dude. Oh, Bob, it's just kid stuff. Can you give me some relief? I need some relief. Dude, what the hell? I'm telling you, man, the balls on this Berchtold dude. B, like, okay, I get it. The guy owns a florist shop or whatever. What do you think it was that made him think that he could get a handy from Bob?
I want to come back to the scene, but in the meantime, while he's out on bail, while he's sleeping in Jan's bed, he just opened up a family fun center.
And that happens a little bit later. I think we're jumping ahead.
Wait,
right?
It does?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. But that's in Jackson Hole. He opens that in Jackson Hole.
Okay. We're in the car, we're getting handy J's.
Dude, so he convinces Bob, Jan's dad, to give him a hand job because it's just kid stuff. Can you give me some relief?
It's just kid stuff.
Are you there?
But I can hear you.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
There we go.
Yep. Bam. We're back.
Oh, dude. Can you believe that?
So he's fucking with everybody now.
Right.
He has Jan's mom and dad just pushed to the edge of insanity. Their whole world is turned upside down. Jan isn't even. He isn't even a kid anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening with the other kids at this point. I think they got to know something's going on.
Oh, yeah. So here's how the FBI doesn't prosecute this guy, right?
Yeah, because they're still going after him with everything they've got.
Yeah, they're still going after him.
They have kidnapping charges. They have the parents. They have Jan. I mean, even if Jan doesn't testify, they have the parents' testimony.
Right. So that's why we backed up to the hand jobs, right? Because
we love talking about hand jobs.
Well, that too. Which the fucking balls on B, man. I'm telling you. I don't know what kind of situation you've ever been in, but I've never been somewhere where the guy's like, I can't stand my wife. I need some relief. Get over here and tug on this for me.
Can you give me some relief?
It's just shocking, man. So shocking. I think that guy's, he's into some dong.
He runs a flower shop.
I know, but I think in the 70s, he probably didn't realize that. I don't know, man, but he was craving that dick.
I like flowers because they look like vaginas.
They're pretty.
I love flowers.
Yeah, man. I do too.
Tiger lilies.
Yeah, totally. So anyway, one day Gail comes over to their house. This is to tie it all together. Okay.
This is B's wife.
This is B's wife. Gail comes over to the house and she's like, I want you guys to drop all the charges. Otherwise, we're going to tell everybody in the community that Bob was over here jerking my husband off.
He said, oh, Bob's just kid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kid stuff.
Just kid stuff. But what it really was he was blackmailing him. So now Bob fills out this affidavit saying, no, my daughter went voluntarily. We let her go. Under our First Amendment right, we never said anything to the authorities because we completely consent to this. He should not be in any trouble. And he gets off, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah, they could.
Excuse me. I think they got him for one felony or something.
Yeah, right? for taking a minor across state lines or something.
Right, they got him for something.
But yeah, the FBI at this point no longer had the cooperation of the parents.
Right.
Because they thought this was an open and shut case.
Yep. Yeah. They thought they were done with this dude. He got like 10 days or something like that with good behavior.
And then the FBI gets a letter from the parents that say, no, everything we told you, it was, you know, what? Yep. Did they even explain why they lied or explain why their story changed?
No, I don't think so. I think they just wrote him a letter and they're like, hey, we're back to being friends with this guy or whatever.
Yeah, everything's fine. We were fully aware what was going on.
Yeah.
He's not hurting Jan. Jan had a great time in Mexico with him. He's a friend of the family. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't. So the FBI's case falls apart.
Yes.
This guy dodges a fucking bullet.
Yeah, he gets sentenced to a month and a half and he serves 10 days after good behavior. How crazy is that? So then shit gets even crazier. Okay. He comes back into their life, starts sleeping with their daughter in the home 4 times a week for 6 months, tells them that he's being treated for sex with his aunt when he was 4 years old. And that's what started all this. Blah, 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 blah. These idiots buy into it. They let him sleep with the daughter. Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Like nothing ever happened.
Like nothing ever happened. Okay. He gets. What happens next? Does he get arrested again? Or is this after he got arrested and then the 10 days or whatever?
I don't know. I was hoping you would fill in this part for me.
Yeah, I know. But there were so many things going on that I'm taking notes on shit. I just, the timing of it's really weird for me. He ends up moving to Jackson Hole. He serves 1.5 months, then moves to Jackson Hole and starts a kiddie park. Okay. So that's what it is. He starts a kiddie park,
a family fun center,
right?
So much fun with the family. Right?
Yes.
Just running around in bathing suits.
The whole time he's still in contact with Jan and the family. Okay.
Yeah. This is when they're writing letters back and forth and calling and
still calling, writing letters, all this shit. Jan wants to go work for him for the summer. And her parents are like, no, you're not going to work for him for the summer. He fucking calls them and he's like, Marianne, yes, Jan really wants to come work for me.
Abducted in Plain Sight is a documentary that is really.
Sorry.
Whoa. No, that's cool. That just scared me. Yeah. So he beat Marianne and says, Jan wants to come work for me for the summer, whether you want her to or not. She's coming. She's going to get on a plane and hitchhike down here. If you don't send her, fucking Marianne buys her a plane ticket and flies her down to Jackson Hole, dude.
Hey, just 1 second. Somebody tried to call.
Oh, okay. Ooh, this is exciting. We got a caller.
Yeah, but I didn't fucking pick up. We were in the middle of something.
Oh, damn it. Always pick up.
All right. I was really hoping you guys were recording and be able to listen. Well, I just hope the recording goes well. So far, Adam.
They didn't leave a callback number or anything? Call them back. Call them back.
Here we go.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the Too Dumb for This Show.
Yes.
Hey, sorry we missed you. How are you?
No, I was calling in because I thought last week you guys had said that Julie might be able to call in and listen. I thought it would automatically do it and connect.
Yeah, man, we're taping live right now. We're talking about Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yeah, we are. Did you do your homework?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't, but I am sitting in front of the TV, and I'm going to turn it on right now.
Are you serious?
Heck yeah.
Now, you don't have any conservative people around with you, do you?
I do not.
Okay.
Because this might weird them out a little bit. No, if you want to have your night rocked, the documentary, you know, might change your life. This shit will stick with you for a while.
I don't know. I've seen some fucked up shit.
Okay, so what's your name and where are you calling from?
Josh, and from Colorado.
Oh, what's up, Josh? How's it going, man?
Not too bad.
What part of, well, you don't have to answer that. How much weed do you smoke?
Denver. Denver area.
So what's
what are you saying?
So what kind of fucked up shit have you seen? Just other documentaries?
Yeah, other documentaries, and then let's see, there's Sword and Scale, another podcast, and they have a few other spinoffs that they've been doing that have been some pretty fucked up shit.
Yeah, we'll have to check it out.
Yeah, man. We'll look for it for sure.
Definitely.
So what do you
do? This one's got some twists and turns in it, man. It's pretty insane.
How far were you guys into talking about it?
We're past a couple twists and turns, but there's more to go, man. There's so much action happening.
Yeah, we're about halfway through.
Okay.
But yeah, man, this episode's going to go up on Tuesday. So if you have a chance, be sure and watch the entire episode. Otherwise, there will be spoiler alerts.
Of course, I got to watch it all right now.
Nice.
Nice, man. I'll
let you guys get back.
You know, make a good date night movie. So, open up some a nice bottle of wine.
Perfect. Me and the girlfriend actually just got back from going out.
Nice, yeah.
Nice.
Crack a bottle of red, cuddle up under a blanket, and open up Abducted in Plain Sight.
Mm-hmm. Smoke some Definitely. Of that death. Smoke some of that Death Star yep. shit.
Well, hey man, thanks for calling the show. Yep.
Definitely.
You have a great night.
See you guys
later, Josh.
You too. Bye. Bye.
Josh from Colorado.
Wow, that was our first phone call. That's kind of cool.
Okay, so protocol, always take the call, right? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, yeah, okay, we got to okay. take the call. Okay. I think we just got to take the call.
Okay, so you were setting up the Family Fun Center, and they're going back and forth.
Yeah. Jackson Hole. Okay, so he fucking starts a Family Fun Center in Jackson Hole. Jan, okay, the mom, Marianne, she sends Jan, she buys her a plane ticket, flies her to Jackson Hole to work with this creep for the fucking summer, dude. The dad is pissed. Old hand job Bob's fucking fired up.
He said, oh, Bob, it's just kid stuff.
No, it's kid stuff. That's right, you sick fuck. So Marianne sends their daughter fucking believably to work for this dickhead in Jackson Hole. So she gets there, she's shacking up with him. They're doing it. They're trying to get pregnant. More than 200 sexual encounters is what she estimated.
So wait, the mom put Jan on an airplane.
Yes. To go see B in Jackson Hole.
And at first she wasn't a fan of the idea. She said, Jan, you better not.
Right. But Birch told, calls her up and is like, Jan's coming one way or the other. She told me she's leaving. She's going to pack up and hitchhike here, or you're going to send her here. So you might as well just buy her a plane ticket. And she fucking does, man. She buys a plane ticket, sends Jan there to work.
And at this point in time, Jan is how old? 13, 14?
13, I believe. 13 or 14, yeah. Somewhere around there.
Sends her to Jackson Hole.
Jackson Hole. And again, she waits 2 weeks before she contacts the authorities, dude. Ugh. Unbelievable. So here's where it kind of gets confusing again.
Here's where it gets weird.
Here's where it gets weird.
Here, this spot, not the other moments.
Not the previous 12 weird spots. So she's in Jackson Hole working with this dude. They're boning out. They're doing some dirty stuff. She's fallen in love with this guy.
No, they're trying to save the world.
Right. They're trying to save the world. Blah, 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 blah. He ends up, the brother ends up convincing her to come back home. The brother of B, the guy that knows his brother's a creep, but ends up getting her a plane ticket and sending her back home. Okay. So she's back home with her family now. This B is out there running his kiddie park.
You're on the two dumb for this show.
Hey, it's Drea.
Drea, what's up?
North Carolina, how are you?
I'm good, but I'm so fucking confused at what I just watched.
Did you finish the show?
Yeah, like I did half last night and then I finished it tonight.
It is insane, is it not?
Okay, but do you guys really believe it?
I think I have to. It's okay. I see where you're coming from. I've watched it twice now. It is shockingly.
Trenton can't stop watching it. He has it on repeat while he sleeps.
I need some relief.
I can see that.
I'm sure. Like, I don't even doubt it. Oh. Yeah, no, I don't know, dude. It was, I don't know. That whole thing was kind of creepy.
It is super creepy.
No.
And Bob's just over here handing out hand jobs.
So many handy J's.
It's just an old fashioned. It's fine.
It's just an old fashioned. Oh, old Bob. It's just kid stuff, Bob. I need some relief.
Oh, Bob.
I mean, he was all, I mean, B was all pent up because, I mean, he wasn't basically getting any activity anywhere else. Not from Bob's wife, not from Jan.
Yep.
Hey, it just took him a little bit to break Jan. It's fine.
Oh, dude, I can imagine his rock hard weenus just rubbing up against his corduroy pants. Oh,
I think my tipping point of my what the fuck moment of the whole hour and a half that completely consumed my life was when he gave him the hand job in the car. Like, it was so easy.
I know! The balls on this Birchtold guy to just be like, yeah, this guy will totally jerk me off. Are you kidding me? He did
yeah,
it.
Dude. Yeah.
There must have been a little bit of a warm-up before the pitch. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just lead with that.
Maybe he did. There has to be, right? Like, I don't think old Bob's telling the full story. Like, maybe he accidentally brushed up against him or something. Like, all of a sudden, this guy was just like, hey, I'm rock hard over here in this Lincoln. I need you to touch it. And fucking Bob just leaps at it. I mean,
Bob, he's just trying to make the rounds with the family, though.
He was. What a sick fuck. And let's be honest here. Bob did wear some colorful shirts, and he owned a floral shop. So maybe all the signs were there, and he's like, this dude's totally going to jerk me off.
I was going to go with the hairline, but yeah, the floral shirt.
All I have to do is ask.
Right.
What's the worst thing that could happen? what's the worst thing that could happen? The FBI would get involved.
And I get sentenced 45 days and get off in 10.
Is that not the craziest shit for good behavior? Do you think he got a hand job from the fucking guards? Like, what is this guy's the most manipulative son of? And then in a Mexican jail. In the Mexican jail, he's like, hey, kid, you see this gold ring? It's yours if you bring the little girl down here. Oh, my God. It's just one fucked up thing after the other.
Okay, but, like, do you not place any blame on the parents? Like, is that not the weirdest shit ever?
100%. I was just discussing how Jan got put on the plane by Marianne to go down to Jackson Hole
to have fun at the Family Fun Center.
Okay, I think I'm going to hands down just go out on a fucking limb here. I think my favorite character in all of this is B's brother. He's liked little girls for like a minute.
Yeah, right? He just openly, he's like, oh yeah, he used to bang my sister. What the fuck?
Yes.
And then he's telling everybody how good of a car salesman he is. It is.
Yeah, he has this, he has a little bit of an issue, but he's a motherfucker of a salesman.
He's a hell of a salesman. He can sell anything to anybody, especially hand jobs.
He's an American gentleman. Yeah, they're just giving some old fashions out at the fucking used car lot. Like,
old fashions might be my favorite thing of all time. Oh, handing out some old fashions.
With every clunker sold, an old fashioned is handed out.
That's how he did it.
Yep.
Now, I do have a question, and Andrea, maybe you have a little bit of insight into this. I don't know why. I've seen it once. You just watch it. So, yeah, Trenton is watching this on repeat, but where did B get his money?
With some lotion in the hand, Byron. What's up?
Giving myself an old-fashioned.
But where did B get his money? He ends up in a Mexican prison. He had a woodworking company, and then he comes back, and then he, I don't know what he does for several months. He has a family. There are bills coming in. Then he moves to Jackson Hole. I'm sorry. Opens up a family fun center. There's some money coming in. I think his brother.
You know what? I didn't even think about that.
I think his brother, who ran the car lot, was funneling him cash.
Was in on.
I don't know. I'm not going to say that.
Allegedly.
But I don't know. The question is, where did he get his cash?
I think we should start an investigation of our own.
I think when you've got huge, gigantic balls and you have the confidence to just get hard next to dudes and say, hey, can you handle this for me? Cash is easy to come by.
You know what? I mean, it's the 70s, though. It's not like today where, you know, you have these cam girls that, you know, flash their tits on camera and literally are getting, like, you know, $50 tips and shit. You know, that's a good, valid question, I feel like. Where the fuck is the money, B?
And in the 70s, $50 was a lot of fucking money back then. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know, man.
Unless he just like threw a like a little kiddie pool in his backyard and said, hey, it's a family fun center.
Right.
Having tryouts for the real thing.
He just paints his dick like one of those swirly pools. And he's like, hey, come on back.
Come on down to Wacky Bob's.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay. So here's another thing. So the FBI was watching him for weeks. And I mean, it's like, you don't even go in and do it. I don't know. I mean, just a fucking pedophile from Idaho or whatever.
Oh, it's so crazy, man. Yeah. But how does he get sentenced to 1.5 months and serves 10 days for good behavior? After like, kidnapping a child.
Oh. Allegedly.
No, fuck that guy. He did it. He's dead now. Fuck him.
Yeah, dude. I don't know, man.
So Trenton claims upon second view that there are lots of Easter eggs.
Not Easter eggs, but you pick up on a little bit more. So there's a little bit more shock to it than I initially thought.
So this is our initial phone call with the first viewing, and then now we have to, like Trenton, watch it 2 or 3 times while beating off and giving ourselves old fashions, and then maybe we'll think something else of it.
He claims it's like LSD. It just opens your mind.
Dude, play that you need some relief, and then you're going to, trust me, once you hear him say, I need some relief, you're going to want to diddle the old Skittle.
Can you give me some relief?
Okay, so is this, and I really felt bad, but like, I had to stop it last night. I don't know, I was just like in the mood for Pornhub, you know what I mean? And I was like, is this making me a bad person that halfway through this documentary I'm watching Pornhub? Like,
yes, you're a terrible human being.
All right, well,
prank caller.
Did you look up old fashions? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, I looked up old guys' balls.
Yeah. Old fashions. There you go. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's seriously like the crew. And it, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but like the audio tapes, Jan talking, is like the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
She sounds younger than 14.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Dolly.
For sure. Well, the first time she was kidnapped was 9, right?
Sorry, what was that? You were breaking up a little bit.
The first time she was kidnapped, wasn't she like 9 or something? Or was that just when he met her?
I think she was 12. I think the first time she was kidnapped, she was 12. But he met her. Yeah, I think she was a little bit younger when they met.
And that makes it lots better, right?
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Ugh. Fucking man.
And then the worst part is the mom enters into an 8-month relationship with B.
Wait, that's the worst part? That's the worst part?
No. Not the worst part, but it's another crazy twist to the whole thing.
This is like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
The mom ends up banging this dude for 8 months. Oh. Unbelievable. And then the dad gets jealous and files for a divorce because he wants that cock. Plot twist.
Wait, are we going to get to the end of this and realize they were all just ghosts?
Oh, dude.
Yeah, whatever happened to the aliens, right?
Well, remember she finds out. She goes away to that camp or whatever later on, and she finds out that some boy bought her ice cream and nobody died. And then she's
we're
like,
not there yet.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
We were just getting to the
what part are we at right now?
Yeah, we were at the Jackson Hole part where Jan is whisked away on an airliner.
Jan just came back from Jackson Hole. The creep's brother, B's brother, sent her back on the plane ticket. She just got back home. That's where
Was this before or after the FBI was watching him?
This is before. I assume he's being watched the entire time, but in the documentary, this is before.
Yes.
Yeah. Something's not adding up.
Yeah. So here's where we are now. Jan's back home. She's causing all sorts of problems. She's starting shit with her family, doesn't want to be there. She's creating all this strife and shit at the house.
She's not talking to her dad.
Right. She's not talking to her hand job given Bob.
Right.
She's not talking to hand job Bob.
Bob.
And she's giving her mom all sorts of hell because they're both trying to fuck the same dude. That's a terrible way to put it, but it's true. And then Jan leaves the note. Yes. Do you guys remember the note?
Yeah, dude.
I think do you have some of it that you can read off?
Yeah. Let me see where we're at here.
You gotta read it like B, though.
I gotta read it like what?
Like B, get your right voice.
Oh God,
that's just the way he sounds.
Yeah, that's just natural.
Right.
Hang on, just a second. But yeah, she leaves this note, and she's basically telling her parents, that she wants to be with him. She's leaving, but she's not leaving to be with him. She just can't. The parents aren't letting her be her. Let me see if I can find the actual note here.
I could see that he was sexually aroused.
Keep playing those. Those are hilarious, dude.
I was dumb enough to reach over and relieve him in an act of masturbation.
Really?
Oh, man. All right, I can't find it.
You've watched this like 40 times. What do you mean you can't find it?
Yeah, I thought you knew. I was committed to memory.
I took notes.
Yeah, Trenton has a little notepad.
I did. I was trying to keep it all together.
And he's wearing a lab coat.
Oh, so creepy. I've never put this much work into anything. So stupid.
I just see charts and graphs behind you.
Right. I've got the little cork board with the lines on there, the red tape, trying to figure it all out, trying to solve a crime here. Anyway, she leaves a fucking note
and a hat that says B didn't do it. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. B, free B. Even though that fucker's dead. Anyway, she leaves a note.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, so she leaves a note. Her parents come downstairs. She's gone. She's completely gone. The note's like, I know I'm gone right now, but B didn't do this. This is not his fault. I don't even know where he's at. I've never heard of him before. Blah, 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 blah. Like B wrote this fucking note. You know that he did.
Because the sisters are saying it didn't sound like her.
Right.
Like it wasn't in her voice. It wasn't the words she would use.
Right. So do they call the authorities right away?
I think it takes a few years.
No.
A few years later.
Oh, Jesus. It's just the craziest shit ever. So.
No, I think then right away.
Right.
They know there's a problem.
Right. They know there's a problem. The FBI taps their phones. And B keeps calling the house. And Marianne keeps answering the fucking phone. And she sounds happy every time she's like, hello, B. And he's like, hey, Marianne, how's everything going there? I spoke with Jan today.
Is it raining there? It's raining here.
Right. Jackson Hole's real wet.
sounds like a boot stuck in mud, only wetter. How's Gail, by the way? I miss her.
Yeah.
Oh, and your other children, are they well?
How are the other girls? Are they getting old enough to breed? I mean, how's Handjob Bob?
Still wearing funky shirts. You know him.
old colorful shirt, Handjob Bob. Ugh. Dude.
Okay, so
what do you guys have to add there? Like what?
Okay, like my thing is, why did she have a separate room? You know what I mean? Like their rooms were divided or some shit.
Dude, B built a wall.
Remember? With these two hands,
he built the wall. To separate the sisters, because Jan and her other sister used to share a room until B was like, you girls are getting old enough and I got to stay over here four nights a week. I need to build a wall. And he builds the wall in between the rooms. Do you remember that part?
And then spends the night with her multiple nights.
Yes. Four nights a week for 6 months as part of his therapy.
He's ordered by a doctor. It's okay. It's okay.
Right.
And never mind these weird fucking tapes.
He had a doctor's note. He's like, Handjob Bob, part of my therapy is I got to sleep with your daughter. And Handjob Bob's like, I don't care. Just give me some of that dick. Crazy old bastard.
Oh, shit. I mean, I guess, you know what? In the end, as long as her parents got some, then they were happy, right?
Oh, Jesus. It was crazy, man. So crazy.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, she's gone again. She's gone again.
But this time completely MIA. Because B is saying, hey, she's not with me.
Yeah, she doesn't know where he's at.
And
he doesn't know where she's at.
No, he has no fucking clue.
But he talks to her on the phone every once in a while, right?
Yeah, because that's how, what, Marianne? What's the mom's name?
Marianne.
Because that's how Marianne gets her updates. Because Jan is not talking to the family.
Right.
She's talking to B. B's talking to Marianne. And everything is good, apparently.
And at one point, B says to Marianne, I still want to marry your daughter. And Marianne says, does she still want to marry you? And he goes, yeah, she does. Like, they're just talking about it like it's common knowledge. Like, everything's okay.
Okay. So, I do, at this point, I want to address the phone call from Jan. Because this thing, this story is fucking wild. And the documentary is insane. But I do have, I have a lot of compassion just for the people. I mean, the okay, it's crazy that the parents are that the parents missed this. But did you hear the dad's voice when Jan called the house?
Yeah, man.
And he was just, is it Jan? Oh, tell him I'm thinking about her and I miss her.
I know. Right?
Oh, it is heartbreaking, man.
It's
heartbreaking, dude. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But how fucking stupid can you be? Oh,
so
it was super frantic too. And I mean, it's not like you could run the phone out those days. You know, be like, your daughter's on the phone. You know,
right? Yep. Right.
So at this point, Jan's MIA. They don't know where the fuck she is. But the FBI is watching B, and they notice that Jan's not around.
Yeah.
But they happen to notice that he makes a few trips to a phone booth.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she was at some girl's school, right? Like some Catholic girl's school or some shit like that.
Well, the agents, they go inside the phone booth and they realize that, hey, this phone book is open. It's open to a number to a girl's school. Let's give that a call. Maybe she's there. Mm-hmm. And they called the girl's school in Pasadena, right?
Yeah.
And there was nobody there under the name Jan. However, there was a Jane.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Twist number 83.
Yeah, so they check it out. And Jan's living in this all-girls school.
Yep.
Put there by B.
Yeah.
B checked her into the school and said, hey, this girl here, there might be a few people looking around for her.
Uh-huh.
But, I'm in the CIA. Yep. Shh.
He pulls the old CIA card, living in an RV.
Who's going to fucking believe that?
Right. Pulls the old CIA card.
He pulls up in an RV and he's like, hey, I work for the CIA. And everybody just believes that.
Apparently everybody's stupid in the 70s, man.
Or maybe they just weren't as skeptical as we are.
That could be. So,
but let's go with stupid.
But, yeah. They didn't have Google. So,
there's that. Right.
I think they just got more hand jobs.
There were so many hand jobs.
So many.
So back then they were just called fashions. They weren't old back then, you know?
Yeah, no questions asked.
Everybody's doing it. You could just beg your buddy for some relief. Nobody thinks twice.
Oh, man.
So while she's at this school, right, she gets into this play or something, and she starts liking a boy, right? And this is how it all comes unraveling. She starts liking a boy.
Because she's almost 16.
She's almost 16 at this point.
Time's a ticking.
The boy... The boy buys her some ice cream and she's thinking, oh shit, bad stuff's about to happen. Zeta and Zethra are about to annihilate the world because I'm haven't fulfilled my mission yet. The boy buys her ice cream. Her mom, she's talking to her mom and her mom's like, yeah, something's wrong with the dogs. They're sick or whatever. So she thinks that's it. She thinks that Zeta and Zethra are killing her dogs right now. The next day she wakes up and her mom calls her back and says, no, the dogs are fine. And she's like, oh, these aliens are bullshit. I've been molested. Bam. she moves back home.
That's all it took.
That's all it took, dude.
I'm just wondering what the ice cream flavor was.
Oh, I bet it was good. Cherry. I don't know.
Dick.
That was a bad joke.
Pralines and no sleeping pills.
Right. Busted Cherry Garcia. That's terrible. That's terrible. Oh, that poor girl.
Awful. Could you fucking imagine?
No, I can't imagine.
She,
dude,
just a child.
That's why I'm making jokes about it, is because it's seriously one of the worst things I've ever heard.
It's the worst thing. Yeah. Where'd you go? You're kind of in the background there.
Sorry, man.
Trenton broke his microphone stand in an act of rage after watching this documentary, or as he calls it, a cockumentary.
After the seventh time, it was enough.
God damn it! He was angrily masturbating.
Yep, furiously,
furiously.
Furious hands off.
Breaks his microphone stand, so now he has to hold the microphone.
I did the old hand job bot.
So yeah, she's back home and everybody's happy. And everybody's she's normal.
No.
Yeah, no man. Damage done.
Well, didn't her dad's place burn down?
That's where we're heading. So
oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm glad you brought it up. So the FBI's building their case on this guy, but they don't think that anybody's seriously in danger until all of a sudden Handjob Bob's business burns down and Bob comes outside and he's like, let it burn, let it burn. Everything that I need's right here. Like he says it in that voice.
That sounds just like him.
Oh, I've seen it so many times. I've got it down pat.
Wait, is that an audio clip? Did you start playing a video?
Yeah. So, did we talk about the divorce yet?
No.
Okay,
but we should.
The divorce papers got served.
Yeah, the divorce papers get served after she gets back. Bob says, "Enough with this shit," because Marianne's still diddling the old pedophile. She's getting banged out by this guy
diddling. She's in love.
Yeah, she's
ready. She's done. She wants to be with him.
B is B. Like leave your family and bring the girls and let's turn this thing into a party. And she's considering it because she's a dum-dum, but apparently she's got some smoking legs and a nice bod back then. And so Handjob Bob, he ain't having that shit. He ain't having it one bit. He's like, fuck you. I'm getting the divorce papers. We're done with this shit. Serves her papers. She goes and stays with him for a little while, right? Like 8 months or something like that. He's like calling Handjob Bob. B's calling Handjob Bob. And he's like, she's going to take the girls from you and then I'm going to have them and blah, 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 blah.
Threats.
And yeah, threatening everything. And Handjob Bob's like, oh, fuck, man, fuck you. Hangs up on him. But then in the back of his mind, he's like, God damn it. I really want that cock back. No, he doesn't say that. But he's worried that he's going to lose his daughters. So Marianne comes back. She comes back to the home. And they fall into each other's arms, in the words of Handjob Bob.
What happened? Drea, maybe you remember. What was the impetus for that?
Weren't they in the kitchen and all of a sudden, yeah, like you said, fell back into the arms and, professed his love and, held him by the fire.
Yeah, because B was telling Handjob Bob, or he was telling Marianne, you need to get a lawyer and you need to get a hold of those girls and get full custody.
I think she was like,
that's a little weird.
Yeah. I think it just came time for her to shit or get off the pot because, Bob, I'm trying to be respectable here. Respectful. Bob is the one who serves the divorce papers. He's like, hey, look, you're having an affair with this dude. You can't be doing that. So he mans up and he serves her the divorce papers. But she has a coming to Jesus moment where she's like, wait a minute. I'm not going to destroy my life.
Right.
You know, I don't want to get divorced. I don't want my children to leave and live with B. I want my old life back. She had a little thing with B and then moved on.
Yeah. Yeah. The fling was over. She wanted hand job Bob.
Oh, I bet B was pissed. I bet B was pissed. His plan was falling apart.
Yep. That was the first time that things didn't work out for old B.
Oh, man. Things are coming at him. He's dodging left, dodging right. Oh. Dude,
he's got to feel like the champion of the world. He's working for the CIA now. The FBI can't catch him. He's getting hand jobs in a Lincoln. He's living in an RV.
Just surfing in Mexico.
Dude, living the dream. Ugh, a pedophile with a kiddie park? Are you kidding me? No one's done it better since Michael Jackson.
Oh, he went big with it, though.
Yeah, he did go big with it.
We got to watch that documentary next.
Right?
So then. Okay, yeah. What happens next?
Fast forward 30 years. This Jan starts telling her story, and her mom. Oh, wait. The building burns down. Handjob Bob's happy that his family's back together and everyone's alive. B, they grab him, right? Like, I don't think he goes to jail at that point, but they start, you know, I think he pleads down or something like that. I can't remember exactly what happens to him. But, you know, at this point, they're just happy to have their daughter back. She struggles through life, whatever. Everything ends up being okay for her. You know, I'm sure she went through some shit. 30 years later, her and her mom write this book. Well, this fucking Berchtold guy, B, he comes out of the woodwork and starts putting up flyers and shit, calling them liars and talking about how the dad gave him hand jobs and all this stuff, just running their name through the mud.
He's burning the motherfucker down.
He's burning the motherfucker down, dude. He paid those guys. Yeah. He was going to pay him $1,000 a month. He met those dudes, his 10 days in jail. He met those dudes in jail and was going to pay them $1,000 a month to burn down the building. They burned down his floral shop and like half of that block in their little town that they're from or whatever.
Yeah. But at this point he's just going nuts. He doesn't have, he's willing to spill the beans.
Right.
It's like, so he's Bob spilled the seed.
Right. Right. So he's telling his side of the story. They end up going to court, and this is, he has the balls to look at her, to look at Jan and say, so you're making a lot of money off your book deal, aren't you? And she's like, not really, not enough. We haven't had enough sales to where we've actually made any money. And he's like, it's my understanding that you've got a movie coming out. And she's like, no, I just said that it's a possibility that someday we could sell this for, you know, for a movie or whatever. And he's like, is that your goal? And she said, my goal is to let the world know about predators like you.
Yes.
And he just looks at her. He just looks at her and goes, oh, I see. Like, that's all he said. And then he starts apologizing to her. They fucking sentence him. He takes his heart pills, drinks, what does his brother say? He drinks some Kahlua and milk, and bam, dies, kills himself. What a fucking douchebag. And then six other women came forward and said that they were also raped by Berchtold
as children.
Yeah. He was convicted for raping one of them, and he served 1 year. Dude, apparently the 70s were like the golden era for kid touchers.
Yeah. Very difficult to track. No one really believed your story.
Right. You don't speak unless spoken to. Is that the old gag?
Yeah, people. Yeah, no, people didn't treat children with respect like they do now.
I'm glad I'm an '80s kid where we got to do whatever the fuck we wanted. If somebody touched our hiney, we told someone.
Fucking had your Mountain Dew and Doritos and video games.
your piss bottles.
You'll never catch my dad out there jerking dudes off.
he's too cunning to get caught. He's too smart for that.
That's right.
Fucking love your dad, by the way.
This is an honest to God statement. As a father, if a man approached you and was like, as part of my therapy, I have to sleep with your daughter multiple nights a week, would you attack them? Possibly even kill them? Or how would you handle that?
Would you attack them with a hammer? B, would you attack them with a baseball bat? C, would you run them over with a car?
Right.
Those are your options.
Or D, all of the above.
yeah, that one.
Yeah, no shit.
There's probably, and I don't fucking know. Again, everything is allegedly. We watched a wacky documentary. I think we fucked up a lot of the timeline.
It was so hard to keep track of.
Watch it for yourself. Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix. Watch it for yourself. Come to your own conclusions. Come up with your own names for people.
But most importantly, come.
I was dumb enough to reach over and relieve him in an act of masturbation.
Oh, can you imagine having to say that on camera?
Oh. Without a gun to your head. Yeah,
I know you've made it like 40 years since this has all happened. You've made it 40 plus years since this has all happened. And some asshole's like, hey, we're doing a documentary on your family. And you just voluntarily say, I'm ashamed of this, but I totally jerked that guy off and I loved it. Loved every second of it. Oh,
I don't think he said that verbatim.
Well, you could hear him choking up about it. He's getting a little lump in his throat where he wanted to taste it.
I think he was traumatized about his daughter missing.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm curious how much of their faith played a role in this, you know, whether it was, the naivete, the, oh, hey, everybody in our community is nice. They would never do anything like this. Or the, you know, hey, we're part of this community and people are going to start telling the rumors.
Right. They have a business.
Yeah, they have a business, the local business. So, I mean, I don't know, but to address your first part about what the fuck would you do if somebody wanted to sleep with, you know, your daughter, it's hard enough when they're adults, I'm sure.
Dude.
Let alone a predator.
Yeah, it's murder, death, kill.
And I just like a fucking spider monkey. I would come at him with everything. You know, when you get so angry, you just black out.
Yeah. Shit. Piss bottles flying. Yeah, dude. And you know, the thing is, it's easy to sit here and talk about this, right?
I think I would get a hard on while I was attacking him.
Oh, and he would finish you off. He would finish you off.
Just wrestle him to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, just two men wrestling around.
Yep.
I could see that he was sexually aroused.
You know, sometimes he'd get on top, then I'd get on top.
Just
finish him. Sticks.
Just furiously grinding into each other's bellies until one of us gives up. Oh,
you know, it would take a while, but I'd finish him off.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Oh, it's unreal, man. Give new meaning to the word rear naked choke.
So what do you have going on tonight, Drea?
Honestly, I'm probably just going to be old and go to fucking bed because on the East Coast, it's almost 12 o'clock right now.
Damn. I hear you.
What else should we watch?
Dude, I don't know. I was just going to say, I should probably like throw out a suggestion of something. I'll scroll through and find something else that we could talk about for 30 minutes. It's fucked up.
Have you seen the Fyre Festival one?
No, I haven't. Should I, though?
Yes, it's good, but it's not nearly as good now that you've seen this one. But it's really good.
Yeah, the Fyre Festival is a good opener, a good opening act for Abducted in Plain Sight.
I saw the Fyre Festival one, okay. And I was like, wow, that was pretty shocking. There's some shocking elements to that one. And then I saw this one, and I was like, fucking amateurs.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely check that out. But thanks for having me tune in with you guys. It's been fun.
Oh, dude, it was so awesome. I can't believe that you're on the phone with us. It's like the coolest thing ever.
I know. Yeah, we should do this more often.
Yeah. Hell yeah, thanks for calling. We'll do a better job of letting people know when we're taping and send out the number, and yeah, fuck, just call them whenever.
Yeah, dude, for sure. You guys have a great, productive week.
Oh, it'll be productive.
Boo, adulting.
Right?
I'll be trying to produce some testosterone.
Ugh, if only I could be like Hand Job Bob and just do things my own way.
Aspirations in life.
Opening that up flower shops.
Right? That guy's got his shit together.
What a nice fucking guy, though. As his building burns to the ground, he grabs his family and says, "Let it burn, let it burn. The only thing that matters is right here in my arms."
Very dramatic declaration. Wrist waving.
Let's be honest, I think he's just let trying to cover burn, up the fact let that. It burn. I think he's just trying to cover up the fact that he admitted to an old fashioned, let's be honest.
Right. Who knows what was in the basement of that floral shop that he was, what evidence he was trying to get rid of. Go in there with a black
mark. Well, thank you again. And I will talk to you guys soon.
Of course. Chat later.
Drea, always right, a pleasure. Bye.
What's
Have
up?
A good evening.
All right. Thanks. Bye, internet boo.
Bye, baby.
That was Drea, North Carolina. Thanks for calling in.
That's awesome, man. She's cool.
Yeah. We got through a lot of the show, a lot of the documentary with her.
Yeah, she stayed in for the whole thing. I think she added a lot. I was running out of steam.
I honestly got a little lost in the timeline. There's
going
on.
There was a shit ton going on, and they bounced back and forth so much in that documentary, man. Like I was lost. I was lost. Like, you get the whole story, but there's just so many shocking things that happen. It's like you space out everything else. So timelines don't matter. I don't know, man. Insanity.
Yeah, that's dude, that was the weirdest fucking, I mean, that was the weirdest thing I've seen, I think, in my entire life. Because every 5 minutes was a new thing that I just couldn't believe happened.
Yeah.
And then they did what? Wait, right. wait. And then they did what?
Right. Yeah.
No, wait. Then they did fucking what?
Right. So it's such a weird thing, man, because you feel so terrible for the family. Like, I can't
fucking
even
awful.
I can't even imagine going through what they went through. But then at some level, it's like, dude, the stupidity, how can we not make fun of this situation? How can we not like talk shit on how they handled it? Because it was so poorly handled and just so weird how it all happened. of course I feel terrible for the little girl and her family, man, but God bless America.
I think every parent should be forced to watch that movie once a year.
Yeah.
It's just a, hey, this is kind of what you shouldn't do.
Right.
Type of thing.
But that's exactly why most of those crimes, most of those child abductions or even murders and shit, or robberies or anything, most of the time they happen from people that you know. It's not from strangers that just decide that they're going to rob your house or whatever, or kidnap your kid. It's from people that you know.
Yeah, it's from your best friend B.
Right. People that you've come to trust and you're like, yeah, go ahead. Take my kid for the weekend. And then turns out that creep went to Mexico with your kid. It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix now. Everybody check it out.
Yes, check it out. It's shocking.
I mean, we gave you a good rundown.
Oh, I don't even know if it was a good rundown, but it got a lot of shit off my chest. That's for sure.
Oh, dude, you were. Ooh, last week you wanted to go into it.
I did. It's just, man, I do feel like I didn't do it any justice and I screwed up the timelines a lot. But honestly, man, I've watched it twice now. Once was 2 hours ago before we went on, you know, before we started doing this thing. I just finished it again and I'm still screwed up on the timeline. There's just so much to it, you know?
Yeah, layers upon layers. It's like an enigma wrapped inside a riddle, wrapped inside of a paradox.
Yeah, man. I think Handjob Bob said it best when he said,
"Very knowledgeable in the sexual field."
I think you were looking for this one.
He said, "Oh, Bob, it's just kid stuff."
Oh, Bob, it's just kid stuff. I need some relief. Oh, man. I tell you who has her shit together. Hand job Bob. Oh, God, man. Can you imagine?
Living, I think that's a nightmare for everybody involved. Because, I mean, fucking B, he was going to go to jail, but not for, he was going to go to jail, right? And he told his brother, "I'm not going to jail." And
yeah, that's when I'm not spending one fucking minute in that jail. I won't survive. And he killed himself.
Mm.
So crazy. Mm-mm-mm. Dude.
And Jan's out there doing the good work now. There's a book that her and her mother wrote, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And she's forgiven her parents. And like she said, man, it's one thing to forgive some people for doing stupid decisions, but it's another thing to forgive them when they were making stupid decisions after being manipulated. And they were dealing with a master manipulator.
Yeah, they were targeted by a predator.
Yeah, and he found some easy marks is what it was, man.
That's easy marks. Like, yep.
He found some easy marks, took advantage of these kind-hearted people, and made a mess of their life, dude. And I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. But,
and I don't think this is my skeptical view of the world, but I don't think he's unique.
No, I'm sure it happens, man.
300 million people in the United States. There's more than one B out there.
How many hand job Bobs do you think there are, though?
Can't swing a dead cat without hitting a hand job Bob.
Every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the corner is a hand job, Bob.
Dude, what do you think?
It's just kid stuff.
Can you give me some relief?
Oh, God. Can you give me some relief? That will never not be funny.
No, we're going to keep that soundbite around.
Yeah. Oh, dude, man.
I really have to use the restroom.
Yeah, take it. Number two.
Like really? Yeah, it's a number one.
Number one. Well, go. Go for it.
All right. Yeah, I'll be back.
You want to end it? You want to end it?
I don't know. Do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't think so, man. I say we do this day in music and get the hell out of here. You okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm good either way. I just, dude, I've been pushing it for a while.
Yeah. No, you're good.
And if I pop, hey, it'll at least be on the show.
Yeah. Right.
And I didn't get my fucking this day in music bit. Okay. Next week's show, I'm going to, I'll figure out, we'll figure this out. We'll get in this day in music audio bite and, we'll reach out to, Mike Buschetti, get him on the show. We'll get that scheduled. And
Tracy on here as well.
Yeah. Get Tracy on and dude, we'll, you know, we'll, hopefully we'll get some more calls, at 51BEEF1608.
Nice. Dude, that was cool that we got some phone calls. That was two phone calls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. All right, man. So this day in music. 1966, Neil Young, Stephen Stills, and Richie Furay formed Buffalo Springfield in Los Angeles, among the first wave of American bands to become popular in the wake of the British invasion. The group combined rock, folk, and country music into a sound all its own. Its million-selling song, For What It's Worth, became a political anthem for the turbulent late 1960s.
1969, Led Zeppelin recorded their first BBC Radio 1 Top Gear session during the afternoon at the Playhouse Theatre in London, England. Songs recorded were Dazed and Confused, Communication Breakdown, You Shook Me, and I Can't Quit You, Baby.
Nice. 1973, Slade's Come On, Feel the Noise entered the UK at number one, making Slade the first act to achieve this since the Beatles.
1979, Bee Gees. The Bee Gees scored their fourth UK number one single with Tragedy. Also today, the Bee Gees went to number one on the US album chart with Spirits Having Flown, the brothers' second US number one album.
1990, Paul McCartney. During a world tour, Paul McCartney played the first of six sold-out nights at the Tokyo Dome, Tokyo, Japan. The final night was broadcast live to venues in 10 other Japanese cities. Fukuoka, Hiroshima, Kumamoto, Matsuyama, Nagoya, Niigata, Osaka, Sapporo, Sendai, and Takamatsu.
1994, Smashing Pumpkins were banned from appearing on BBC TV's Top of the Pops due to the content of the song's lyrics. The band's single, Disarm, was this week's highest new entry.
Nice. 1995, Foo Fighters made their live debut during a benefit show at the Satricon in Portland, Oregon.
2000, Tom Jones won the Best Male Artist at this year's Brit Awards. Other winners included, I don't care about other winners. I only care about what's new, pussycat. Whoa.
Dude, that's awesome. Ray Jackson, who found fame with Lindisfarne, fuck that one. 2004, Elton John announced he was planning to marry his long-term partner, David Furnish, if new UK laws allowed it. A civil partnership bill was being passed through Parliament, which would give gay couples greater rights.
2009, U2, to celebrate the release of U2's 12th studio album and their appearance every night for a week on The Late Show with David Letterman, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg temporarily renamed part of 53rd Street in Midtown Manhattan, U2 Way.
Awesome, man. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're too dumb for this. Check us out on Twitter. Blah, 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 everywhere that you can. Give us a call on the Beef Line. We appreciate you all. We love you all. Thank you for joining us.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Take a piss.
Oh my God, it wouldn't stop coming.